Creation Ministries presents Inspiration for You, the audio tape series designed for spiritual advancement. Let us begin with our topic, the Intercessor. Did you know that all human beings are living on borrowed time? Yes. If there was no intercessor, we would all be destroyed by the fruit of our own doing. The reason is because the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if all have sinned, then all must die, because the consequences of sin is death. If you are burdened with sin in your life, you may have had many negative thoughts, and whatever your situation might be, you need to know the intercessor. And the good news is, you have Him to save you from the bondage of sin and death. Yes, you have one who cares, one who understands. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, and Hebrews 7, 25. A day is coming, however, when no one will have the intercessor. Man's probation will close, and he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. Revelation 22, 11 and 12. Those who are expecting to see the return of Christ for His people must be thoroughly clean, that is, holy and blameless, before the throne of God. When the great high priest leaves his work of intercession in the heavenly sanctuary, no one on this planet will have the intercessor. If we learn how to become an intercessor ourselves, while we are here in the school of Christ, then we will not need one at the time Christ returns for His church. Christ must be formed within you now. The Scriptures provide us with examples of holy men who assumed the role of intercessor. Consider the example of Moses as the intercessor for the children of Israel in the wilderness. He was a type of Christ, who is the one true intercessor. And God said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And God said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Exodus 32:7-9. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Verse 28. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to God, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Verse 29. And Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto God. Perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sin. Verse 30. And Moses returned unto God and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Verse 31. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of the book of life. Verse 32. And God said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Verse 33. In the prayer of Moses, our minds are directed to the heavenly books, in which the names of all men are recorded, and their deeds, whether good or evil. And these things are faithfully registered there. The Book of Life contains the names of all who have ever entered the service of God. If any of these depart from Him, and by stubborn persistence in sin, become finally hardened against the influences of His Holy Spirit, their names will in the judgment be blotted from the book of life, and they themselves will be devoted to destruction. Moses realized how dreadful would be the fate of the sinner. Yet, if the people of Israel were to be rejected by God, he desired his name to be blotted out with theirs. He could not endure to see the judgments of God fall upon those who had been so graciously delivered from Egypt. The intercession of Moses in behalf of Israel illustrates the mediation of Christ for sinful men. But God did not permit Moses to bear, as did Christ, the guilt of the sinner. By divine direction, the tent that had served as a temporary place of worship was removed far from the camp. This was evidence that God hath withdrawn his presence from them. All who were truly penitent and desired to return to the Father were directed to meet at the tent, confess their sins, and seek his mercy. When each had returned to their own tent, Moses entered the tabernacle. With agonizing interest, the people watched for some token that his intercessions in their behalf were accepted. When the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the entrance of the tabernacle, the people wept for joy, and they rose up and worshiped, every man in his tent door, Exodus 33:10. Moses succeeded in his intercession for the people on this occasion. Was Achan alone in his transgression of covetousness regarding the goodly Babylonish garment and the 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold? The story is found in Joshua chapter 7. The children of Israel had just seen God break down the walls of Jericho and allowed them to go in and capture and destroy that large city without one single casualty. God fought for them and gave them a complete victory. Now, they are to go up and take a much smaller town called Ai. See chapter 8. They feel so confident, but they are put to flight and suffer 36 casualties. Thus, the sin of one man brings humiliation and defeat to the whole body. God says, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen. Therefore, the children of Israel were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Joshua 7, verses 11 and 12. When God points out the problem to Joshua, the individual is not mentioned. God accuses the entire body. God sees the entire camp as a group of sinners, as a group who has taken of the accursed thing, stolen it, dissembled it, and hid it among their own stuff. That is why defeat came upon Israel. God told Joshua that the people could not stand before their enemies and turn their backs before their enemies because they were all accursed. And by the sin of one member of the body, the whole body suffered. In Joshua 7, 6 through 10, it is noted that Joshua is concerned about God protecting his great name and reputation in front of the Canaanites and all the other heathens who may hear about God's people being defeated. But when there is sin in the camp, God will allow that curse to bring shame to the cause of Christ, along with great loss. He will not prop up his reputation in the sight of the world. While there is sin in the camp, the only remedy is to destroy the accursed thing from among you. In the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 9, we read of an intercession which takes place for the people of God just before the end of the world. Those making intercession for the people are the 144,000. For they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, Revelation 14:4. Being made kings and priests unto God, Revelation 1:6. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, Zephaniah 3:13. Only one who is holy can make intercession for the wayward church. The last generation of believers is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. In this special work of intercession, God says, go through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof, Ezekiel 9:4. Mark this point with care. Those who receive the pure mark of truth wrought in them by the power of the Holy Ghost, represented by a mark given by the man in linen, are those that sigh and cry for all of the abominations that be done in the church. The class of Christian who does not feel grieved over his own spiritual declension, nor mourn over the sins of others, will be left without the seal of God. Not one person will ever receive the seal of God while the character has one spot or stain upon it. It is left with us to remedy the defects in our characters, to cleanse the soul temple of every defilement. The voice of an intercessor is heard. I fell upon my face and cried and said, "Ay, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the remnant of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon the church?" Ezekiel 9:8. The intercessor will be sighing and crying for the abominations done in the midst of the church. Those who receive the mark in the forehead, establishing them as sealed in the truth, will be called into the ranks of the 144,000. Those are Christ's last generation intercessors. You will want to join them in that last intercession, won't you? In 1988, we experienced the inception of the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 9. Sin had entered the camp of Seventh-day Adventists years prior and was not severed from the body. The General Conference churches were humiliated by one heresy after another. The General Conference president Neil C. Wilson in June 1988 stated this, quote, "We've got to protect that Seventh-day Adventist name because we are giving a false impression to the world," unquote. Earlier in 1981, after 10% of the North American Division Church constituency was classified homosexual and the SDA Kinship International Gay Support Group established, the General Conference had thought to prop up their good name by federal trademark protection. Adventists, sighing and crying for the many abominations within the body, realized finally that corporate repentance would not loom. Mindful of God's former dealings with His people, we concluded that He would make no difference in our day. So if corporate repentance were not forthcoming, we must perform our duty in true penitence and intercession. We shared in the guilt of our brethren. We were sighing and crying for the abominations of which we were a party to and suffering for. The intercessor was pleading before the Father in our behalf. Then we heard our instructors say, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Revelation 18, 4 and 5. In this, we heard judgment. God hath remembered her iniquities. When the Almighty remembers sin, He blots out names or removes candlesticks. Christ says, "I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Revelation 2:5. We saw that repentance was our only option, for the hour of his judgment is come. Revelation 14:7. We believed the words of Ellen G. White. The Lord Jesus will always have a chosen people to serve him. When the Jewish people rejected Christ, the Prince of Life, he took from them the kingdom of God and gave it unto the Gentiles. God will continue to work on this principle with every branch of his work. When a church proves unfaithful to the work of the Lord, whatever their position may be, however high and sacred their calling, the Lord can no longer work with them. Others are then chosen. Upward Look 131. In 1991, following the light sent to us from heaven, we organized the Creation Seventh-day Adventist Church. Refusing to obey the papal trademark policy of the General Conference Corporation of Seventh-day Adventists. This trademark policy would have mandated us to give up the name Seventh-day Adventist and, in effect, worship the image of the beast in Revelation 13. We noticed the prophecy of Isaiah 65:15, which when overread goes as follows. Quote, "Ye, General Conference, shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, Christ. For the Lord God shall slay thee, General Conference," see Ezekiel 9, "and call his servants Creation Seventh-day Adventists by another name or character," unquote. Suffering their name left as a curse to the gospel of Christ, we chose to drink the cup of the intercessor and plead for God's people. God is now calling you to join the ranks of the intercessors and to receive the pure mark of truth. Won't you receive it today? Inspiration for You is produced and distributed by Creation Ministries. For orders and information, you may write to Post Office Box 284, Spring City, Tennessee, 37381-0284, or you may call the toll-free number 1-800-754-8021. May heaven's inspiration be eternally yours as you come out of the fallen churches and join with God's intercessors pleading for the people of God.